Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story about four angels who were watching God create the heavens and the earth. And when God was done, each of them had a little bit different reaction. The first angel said, "How did he do it?" That's the scientific response. The second angel said, "Why did he do it?" And that's the philosophical response. The third angel says, "Ooh, how pretty. I want it for myself." And that's the self-centered or greedy response. And then the fourth angel says, "This is really nice. How can I be a part of it and take care of it?" And that is the faithful response of stewardship. All four of our lessons today deal with stewardship in one way or the other. And not in the way that we normally think about stewardship. When you hear the word stewardship, you think, oh no, here comes another sermon about money. Stewardship is much more complete than that. Stewardship means how we take care of the things that God has given to us. Or how do we respond to God with all of his good gifts that he has blessed us with? And so all four of our stories today, all four of our lessons today deal with stewardship in one way or the other. Actually, three of them have parables, or they talk about vineyards, about a vineyard producing. And what a vineyard does is produce grapes. In our first lesson, the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, Isaiah sings a song or tells the parable of a owner who builds a vineyard, starts from scratch, clears the land, digs a wine press, selects the best grapes or vine stocks, builds trellises, builds a watchtower, builds a fence around it. He does everything possible to produce the best grapes. And when harvest time comes, he goes out there to check, and rather than big, juicy, sweet grapes, he has little sour, wild grapes that grow up. And he is so frustrated, he tears the whole thing apart. In the song, there's also a story about a vineyard. Same thing happens, an owner goes out and he invests a lot of money into putting in a vineyard, a lot of work and a lot of money in putting in a vineyard. But again, it doesn't produce. And so it too is just left to be ravaged by nature, by wild animals coming in, digging it up, destroying it, by anybody coming by, and whoever wants the grapes, just pick them off so that there is no harvest as such. But there, in this psalm, there is a plea. Give us another chance. Give that vineyard another chance so that it can produce a harvest. The second lesson, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, does not talk about a vineyard, but in a way it does talk about stewardship. Paul is looking back at his life and everything that he did for his own self-righteousness, he considers as worthless. He says it's just rubbish, it's garbage. But he realizes that after his conversion and once he understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was his goal, was to continue to serve Christ, to produce good fruits from the blessings that he received from Christ, that blessing of salvation, that blessing of knowledge of the gospel. And then our gospel lesson today, once again, is about a vineyard as well. Again, the owner puts all this trouble, this expense into building a vineyard, and he leases it out to some tenants. And when harvest time comes, he sends some of his servants there to collect his share of it. And they beat him up. They kill some. Again, they're sent. More. It's done the same to them. And finally, they kill the heir. All four of these texts talk about what God has done for us, of creating the heavens and the earth, of giving us all that we need in our lives. And we realize that. As Christians, we realize that God is the author of all these things. But it calls for a response. God calls for a response for us, a faithful response, a response to come to worship, to give praise, to give him honor, to give him credit for doing these things. And to follow his commands, not as... Of just having to do it, but rather because that is the proper way of living. That will give us a joyful life here on this earth. And so there's several different responses to these good gifts of God, these responses to serve God. One of the responses is the I have to response. I have to do it because God commanded it. God wanted me to do this. He has given me his commandments, and therefore I ought to follow them. And so we spend our lives trying to follow those commandments in order just to do those. But the problem with that is there is no joy in that, because we know that we cannot follow all those commandments. We do mess up. And when we mess up, it makes us even feel worse because we messed up. We didn't follow the commands. And so we're constantly looking over our shoulder, looking to see if God is there watching us, ready to pound us, ready to zap us, or if it's the devil over our shoulder, ready to grab us up and take us down to hell. And so we're always constantly worried, and it's not healthy. When I was in seminary, part of the training was called Clinical Pastoral Education, CPE. And it was done over the summer months for 3 months. And most of the students went to hospitals and went there to learn how to counsel patients and families and just to care for people in a spiritual way. I went to a state hospital, a mental hospital, rather than just a medical hospital. I went to a state hospital. And it was right in the middle of the Bible Belt. And so the patients that came in had heard all their lives the Bible-thumping, pulpit-pounding preachers who were always constantly telling them to get your life straight, to quit sinning, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit cheating on your husband or wife, and constantly bombarding them with all the laws and with all the commandments that they could find in the Bible. And so the mental patients would come into the hospital with this theology. And in listening to them and in caring for them, a lot of times I couldn't figure out, listening to them and their hard, harsh ways of thinking about God, I couldn't figure out if that harsh theology caused their mental illness or whether it was because they had mental illness that they were spouting out some of this harsh theology that they had. It wasn't healthy. It wasn't healthy. This response of, I do it because I have to do it. And what happens then too is we get very resentful. We get very resentful against God that He gave us these things that are impossible for us to do. And we get frustrated. We get resentful. We get angry. And eventually we just check out. We no longer want to worship this God. We no longer want to be any part of His plan. We don't even want to be a part of His church anymore. We may lose our faith if we think of, I do it because I have to do it, because God commanded it of me. Now there's another response to all the good gifts and the creation and everything else that God has given to us, and that is the ought to response. The ought to response. We realize that God is not going to zap us for every little thing that we do wrong, that God is gracious and merciful. But I serve God simply because I ought to do it. It's that same kind of motivation that you get sometimes, some mornings when it's a work morning or a school morning, and you know you got to go to school, you know you got to go to work, but you just really don't want to. You'd rather go fishing, you'd rather go shopping, you'd rather go have some fun, you'd rather do anything else, maybe even just lay in bed that morning, but you know you ought to go to work. You ought to go to school. And so you get up and you do it. And for many people, that's the response also here as we try to stay in faith with God. You know, there's a council position that's open and nobody wants to do it. I guess I ought to do it. Fill in. There's a project going on up here at the church, a new building project, and they need some money. I guess I ought to put some money in the offering plate to pay for it. It's that response of, you know, there is a responsibility in there, but if somebody else does it, well, so much the better. I don't have to do it. The problem with this kind of response is there is no joy. It's done simply out of a sense of responsibility or a sense of it just ought to be done. There is no joy in that. There is no joy. And again, that can also lead to resentment. Resentment to God and also resentment to other members in the community. Well, they're not doing it, but I guess I ought to go ahead and do it anyway. You have that resentment against other people that they're not pulling their fair share, that they're not doing the work that they need to do. And so we get grumbly, we get crabby, and we get angry at God for putting me in this position that I just ought to do it. And then there's also one other response too, and that is because I do the things that God calls me to do because I want to do them. We realize that God has created the heavens and the earth. He has given me everything that I need in life and more. He has given me my home. He's given me family. He's given me food and clothing. He's even given me work to do. And I am thankful for that my days are ordered. And so we want to help. We want to be a part of it. We want others to be a part of it as well then too. And so that is our faithful response. I want to do it. There's a joy in doing it. There's a blessing in doing the work and remaining faithful in Christ and being a part of it. We want to be in relationship with God. We want to be in relationship with one another. We want to continue to grow in faith because there are great opportunities. There's great ways to serve God in many and various ways. And God calls us into service. God calls us into his vineyard to produce and to collect the harvest that will come. God calls each and every one of us into his care. He gives us the blessings and everything that we need, and he calls us, come, come, come join in the harvest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.